The Short Camera.
Day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Short Cameo, the show where I discuss movie news, reviews, and everything in between. On today's pod, we are talking about the latest Well, it's not really the latest Netflix hit, is it? Once again, Behind the Times Me is talking about a movie that came out a while ago now, The Killer, directed by David Fincher, released on Netflix when... long ago enough now that... everyone else has already seen, talked, reviewed, analyzed it before I get to it. Nevertheless, here I am. And for those of you willing to listen to me, I do appreciate you. So it's a slight first for me here because I'm currently back home over Christmas in sunny Australia, having the absolute time of my life. And for a first, I'm recording in the outside world. I've absolutely no idea how this podcast is going to turn out recording-wise because there's a fair bit of background noise, wind, pool generators, that sort of thing. So we'll see how we go. But I'm really keen to talk about this movie in particular because quite a bit of discussion around it for various reasons, some good, some bad, some just interesting, and I'm keen to deep dive into all of it. So without further ado, let's just get on with it. First point I want to make isn't even really about the movie itself. It's just about the cinema release versus straight to streaming. This one got a limited release in the cinemas, I think, basically meaning nobody saw it other than on Netflix. It's just, I don't know, I find it's a bit of a shame that this is the world we live in now. I don't know what the solution is or even what the future looks like. I was chatting about this with my friend the other day. And we're both just a bit concerned that cinema is going to die out because we both like going to the cinema, sitting down, getting that experience that I think you can't get at home. I think I've talked a bit about this before, but it's just a bit of a shame. Even David Fincher can't get a decent cinema release now. So what does that mean? I know a lot of people find it convenient to just watch films at home. And to be honest, I do that a lot as well, but I think something's lost. There are movies that are much better to experience in the cinema, I think. And if we're gonna lose that down the line, then I don't know. It doesn't make me very happy. Anyway, positive way to start this review. Let's get on to the actual film. I want to talk a bit about... going back. So this movie is directed by David Fincher, one of the all-time film greats, some would say, many would say, I would say. He teams up with his writing team from Seven, which... is one of those sort of cult classic films. The film stars Michael Fassbender. I think some other people are in it at some point. Can't remember. I think he's in every single scene in the film. It's crazy. Tilda Swinton shows up and Charles Parnell. They're fun. They have some fun little cameos. But it's mostly just all down to Fassbender and his work. We'll get into that in a bit. I kind of want to talk about Fincher's directing, first of all, because, I mean, obviously it's really strong. He's an absolute legend at this stuff by now. I personally haven't watched all his work, but I've seen most of it, and you know, everyone says it. It's always very impressive, isn't it? The pristine editing, the use of similar colors and costumes and scenery, the meticulous care he puts into all these shots. I mean, it's not a perfect method because it's often causing drama on set with the amount of takes he likes to do. I always love watching the video of him making Andrew Garfield smash 30 laptops in a row to get the perfect scene in that Social Network film. But I think he was the perfect guy to direct this sort of film because he does an incredibly good job, he and his team, of making what would be otherwise an incredibly mundane story feel investing and interesting. I was not bored for a single moment throughout the whole film because it's essentially just a day in the life of an assassin. Like, there's a lot of time given to showing what goes into constructing a hit or a job, the waiting, the planning, the small details you have to consider, the recon required, but somehow he makes it very interesting to watch. It's hard to put down exactly what he's doing. I think it's just the amount of care that goes into every shot to make it look as interesting as possible that just, I don't know, it brings something extra. Because then when you think about the plot, it's pretty generic. It's just a straight up revenge quest. We've seen it 100 times before. I think I've said it before, I don't mind seeing cliched stuff or similar stuff if it's done really well. And I appreciated that despite the generic plot, there is a uniqueness to it, as we've already talked about, with how focused it is on just the everyday workings of an assassin. And it makes it very grounded. It feels like what an actual revenge quest would be. Like, there's no bells and whistles to it. There's no real big dramatic moments. It's just a guy going about his business. And I imagine a lot of people might have a problem with that, because it does mean there's less sort of big, fun, exploding, exciting stuff happening on screen. I personally really liked it for the most part. I do have problems with how the film wraps up, but we'll get into that in a bit. Talking a bit about Fassbender himself, he had a really tough assignment. I think I've seen it written that he had the easiest job in the world, because he barely has to say anything in the whole movie, but that it's actually really, really hard to be interesting as an actor when you can't say anything. But he's got that presence that great actors do. Just the way he moves and the micro expressions he's giving off means he's constantly interesting to watch, even when he's sort of doing nothing, as you'd say. And I thought it was great to see him get a role like this and get the recognition for it. In terms of the film itself, two scenes I really wanted to talk about. I'm not going to analyze every bit of the movie, but two scenes in particular I wanted to talk about are, first one being the big main event, the fight scene he has with the big tall guy. It's really well crafted, because it's David Fincher, of course it is. What would you expect? But things I really appreciated, it was, while it is pretty dark, I don't know, people have seemed to have different experiences. Just watching this at home on my TV, despite it being dark, I felt I was able to see everything that was happening. The action was all in camera. There are quite a lot of cuts, but it's not that shaky cam stuff where they're trying to hide things. It's just done to build the intensity. And I mean, I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. It reminded me a bit of that Daniel Craig fight scene in that Bond film on the train with Dave Bautista, then another huge guy. Like, just in the sense the punches felt really hard hitting, and it felt like people were properly getting hurt. Like, there was nothing clean about it. It just felt like what a realistic actual fight would be like if it were to happen. And the other scene I wanted to talk about was Tilda Swinton's cameo. There's not much to say other than that, a bit like Fassbender, it's amazing what two really good actors can do, even if they're just sitting there and talking, and somehow they're making it really investing. I particularly love the bit about where she says to him, like, you know, why did you come here at all? You thought you'd feel vindicated, but you don't. And seeing Fassbender's response to that, where it's sort of the first time this character's armor cracks, because, you know, I mean, for the whole film, he's barely sort of reacting to anything how a normal person would react, because he's supposed to be this really cold, calculated killer. But that's just the one time in the movie you see that something someone says to him just hits home a bit, and there is something under the surface there, which I liked. Kind of wish there was a bit more of that, but we'll get into that in a bit. So before I talk about this, I realize I haven't really said much just generally about my thoughts. I liked this film. I enjoyed watching it. It was a good 2 hours. There were a lot of things to like, but I walked away from it just feeling a little bit disappointed. And it's that thing as well, because sort of my big problem is with the third act. And often with films, the third act is, whatever feeling the third act gives you is the feeling you're left with at the end of the film, because it's the most recent thing that happens. So it's always critical, I think, for movies to get that part right for whatever film it is. And I'm not sure this one did it. So I'll get into why I think that. I thought throughout most of it, the movie was building really well. The tension was growing. The fight scene was excellent. Then he has that tense scene with Tilda Swinton. And then it kind of felt like that was the climax. And I'll be honest, I thought that was the end of the movie. He kills Tilda Swinton, and then I thought they were just going to wrap it up after that. And then the film just kind of keeps going. He's got that stalking of the client who he thinks screwed him over at the start, which it took me a while to realize that's what was going on, because he just starts stalking this guy, and it just took me a bit of a moment to clock what it is we were doing. It's not that it's not interesting, because it is interesting to see how he's able to get into this guy's apartment and absolutely freak him out. I like that they showed all the steps involved in that, and it's not just sort of that movie assassin magic where he suddenly just appears in the guy's room and nobody has any idea how he got there because he's just supposed to be that good. They actually show how it's done, which is cool, but it kind of felt like something that should have been in the first act, because it's quite, you've got the high of the fight scene and the Tilda Swinton thing, and then you've just, it's almost like the movie starts building again. So it felt very out of place. And in the end, you kind of feel like all that build-up we did in the first two acts leads to not that much. And so I just kind of left feeling a bit flat, which I think is partly what I've just been talking about, but also partly my other main problem, which while I really liked what Fassbender did in the film, I think there's some problems with the writing of his character. What I mean is, like, so we are deliberately kept at arm's length. We don't learn too much about him. He doesn't give off much emotion, or he's got the inner monologue that we hear all the time, the narration, which gives you a bit of an insight. But we're not really given an in into being on his side or supporting him, which is a very deliberate thing, obviously, by the creators. And, you know, that can be fine. But I kind of feel like we were supposed to care, because there's that whole thing set up with his partner or his female friend getting hurt at the start, and you can see it really affects him, and that's the driving force of the movie. That's what leads him to chase all these people down to, you know, get vengeance and revenge and all that. So I feel like we're supposed to, that is in the film to make us care about this guy, but it's very quick. We don't see what his home life is like in advance. We're sort of just thrown into it, and just we're playing catch up very quickly. And the first time we meet this girl that's been hurt, it just feels like we've skipped a few steps. And it almost felt like a bit obligatory, like almost like they were sitting around the writing table, they wrote out the film, they thought it sounded great, and then there was something like, oh, well, I'm a bit worried people aren't going to really care too much about this, or we better give him someone who's close to him, and, you know, they get hurt or something. And, you know, then we're just kind of supposed to be on board with his plight, be sympathetic to him. So if you assume that's what they were trying to do, and then the first thing he does is kill this essentially innocent cab driver who just drove the assassins from the airport, which, you know, had no idea what was actually happening. Like, I felt like I'd missed something there. Was I supposed to be feeling that was the right thing to do? I don't think that was the case, which then brings the question, were they trying to have the audience be a bit conflicted about how they care about this guy? But then we've just had this scene where he gets all emotional about his friend getting hurt. So I don't know. It didn't quite link up for me, because then at the end of the film he's happy to let the client go free, the one who actually has a bit of responsibility. He's got more responsibility in this than the cab driver. So his actions just, they don't seem to quite line up to anything, because you can have your audience be conflicted or create conversation and allow different points of view on the same character to occur, but I think to a certain extent the actions somebody, a character does have to, to a certain extent, make sense. And you can have different views on whether you agree with that or not. And it just, I don't know, by the end, I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to be feeling. Like, am I supposed to be feeling vindicated? Like, did we get the revenge we wanted? Am I on his side? Yeah, I got the sense I wasn't necessarily supposed to be feeling as conflicted as I was. I suppose I just feel like I'm left feeling, again, wondering if there was a more impactful story that was missed here. Like, he keeps saying throughout the story that he misses the more creative parts of the job. And then he keeps telling that rule of, or the rhetoric thing over and over again, of not letting his emotions get in the way and stick to the plan and all that. And he keeps breaking his own rules. So I don't know, maybe explore that a little bit further. Maybe him realizing he doesn't want to do this anymore, maybe. That kind of seems to be where the movie finishes up. Like, he's going into retirement now, I think. I don't know. I just was left not feeling much. I just felt a bit flat, which is a shame, because I realize I've gone on about this a lot, but it's just a shame because there was so much in this film I really liked, and I liked the uniqueness of it. And I think it just stems from 99% of this movie is focused on this one guy. And after 2 hours of watching him go about his business, I don't feel much one way or the other towards him. It's even like he says at one point about, you know, if you don't want a puzzle solved, then remove a couple pieces, which it feels like is what they did. But maybe they just removed one too many pieces, and so the puzzle's kind of left a bit too muddled. That could be in an English essay. Should I change career class? Anyway, yeah. It's just, yeah, it just sucks a bit because, as I said, the feeling the movie gives you at the end is usually what you remember when you reflect on it. But look, all in all, I still enjoyed watching it. There's a lot to like about it. But as I've said, like the uniqueness of the way they present this story, with just a lot of it kind of being presented as very mundane work, but somehow it invests you, or at least I was invested. I was interested. I wanted to see what happened next. I wanted to see how this guy, as I've already said before, I just really liked that it felt like one of those very rare films that actually lets you peek behind the curtain and see everything that's involved with these magical things these assassin characters can do, with actually how they pull it off, when so often it's just easier to, I don't know, just kind of, you know, skip around that. I also just wanted to give a quick shout out as well to this film actually being under 2 hours, because my goodness me, a movie's getting long nowadays. Is anyone else feeling that? I mean, like, so you've got, just thinking about this year, you've got Nolan's Oppenheimer, which was over 3 hours, Scorsese's film over 3 hours. I mean, their films are always pretty long. They feel like events. So those are the types of films. All right, fine. Yeah, that it makes sense to have a movie that long. But even I didn't watch it, but I saw the Little Mermaid live remake was 2.5 hours long. Like, that's based off a 80-minute cartoon. Like, why is this happening? Are cinemas just trying to justify making you buy a ticket so they're giving you more content? Because I think in this case, more does not mean better. Or is it like the opposite of all these movies are going straight to streaming or going to streaming really quickly so people can pause and can take breaks so movie makers feel they can just extend the runtime out and it doesn't matter? It just seems there's less of a mandate now from studios forcing directors to keep movies shorter. And I suppose the other problem with that is that it means budgets are higher because you've got more to film, you've got more action scenes to do. I mean, I was watching Indiana Jones 5 the other day, and that movie was 2.5 hours long, and it felt like there were one or two many chase action scenes in there, which, I mean, I don't know what the budget was for that film, but apparently it was massive, and that was probably the reason why. I like the idea of a movie being as long as it needs to be, but it's just the case, when it starts getting up around 2.5, 3 hours, then as soon as that starts happening, unless it's something like a Nolan film, you then, I don't know about you guys, I kind of find myself looking out for scenes that they could have cut. And to be honest, most of the time, it's very obvious where you just start picking it apart. Like, okay, well, if they cut it out, it's essentially like when you get to editing a film, I imagine the mandate needs to be, if I take this scene out, does it make a difference to the film? Does it change anything? And if it doesn't, then doesn't need to be there, does it? Does it add anything? Is there a reason this scene must be in the film? It just feels like that's less of a thing or less of a problem now. I don't know. Anyway, you know, that's a little side rant over. Well done to this film for being a nice tight 2 hours. And boy, did I notice the difference. And I just felt happy about that. So look, sort of a nice short, sharp review compared to the How long was the last review? Like, well over an hour. Less nostalgia for this one. Overall, I realized I talked quite a bit about the negatives. I just want to reiterate again. I liked David Fincher releasing a film, first one he's done in quite a while. Again, his directing was really strong. Fassbender's acting and Tilda Swinton particularly, really, really good, strong stuff. I liked the uniqueness of the film, as I've already talked about, despite the pretty stereotypical storyline. And look, just a few problems with the third act and kind of not quite understanding what I was supposed to be feeling at the end and just feeling a bit flat. It was just, a bit of a letdown at the end, I guess. But, I mean, I can see myself watching this film again down the line. And maybe if I do, I'll see something I missed or get a better grasp of what I'm supposed to feel about Fassbender's character. Who knows? You let me know if you guys saw it differently than I did. Guys, thanks again for listening to me. I realize I don't do these nearly as often as I want to or as I claim I'm going to do, but when I do, I have a lot of fun doing it. I don't know, there's something I enjoy about watching a film, just thinking about what I'm going to say about it later. Get in contact with me if you agree with me, disagree with me, or want to discuss something further. I love talking about films with others. It's often a bit of a shame I just do this on my own. So, yeah, reach out. But otherwise, have a great... Can we say Merry Christmas anymore? Feels like that's politically incorrect. Happy holidays, and probably see you in the new year. Boy, the Shark Cameo.